You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Alas, poor Kale, we knew him kind of well. This is a special bonus weekend edition of Locked On Los Angeles Kings, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, talking hockey five-ish days a week on your favorite podcast app of choice. Today's show is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. The holidays are right around the corner, and finding the perfect gift is tricky. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send family and friends an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter NHL into the search bar to order the perfect gift package. This is Locked On Los Angeles Kings. My name is Sarah Avampato, and as always, I am glad to be here with you talking about the Kings, even if today we're talking about stuff that annoys me. That's right, we're going to start out by talking about Cale Clegg. We're also going to take a quick look at the last couple of games since we last spoke and see where the Kings have to go from there to, like, I don't know, do something useful. First off, though, Cale Clegg. The Kings waived him because they've got Drew Doughty back. They have Sean Durzi, who is producing and fitting in the lineup very easily, seamlessly, and we've just got too many defensemen now, and Cale Clegg is the lucky, unlucky loser, or maybe lucky, depending on your view of the situation. Clegg, despite the team's efforts to, like, you know, kind of manipulate the service time, essentially, of making sure that he wasn't on the roster and sending him back down to Ontario, et cetera, to try to avoid having him have to go back through waivers, well, they failed, and he did, because he had been up with the Kings for long enough. Clegg goes to waivers and is claimed by the Montreal Canadiens. So congratulations to Laura Saba and Scott Matla of Locked On Canadiens, friends of the show, frequent guests, because they now have our perfect Cale boy. This is frustrating for many reasons. I think that, like, you know, is Cale Clegg going to be your number one defender? No. He isn't. That's not who he is. That's not the role he's going to play. He's always going to be probably your, you know, second pairing guy, third pairing guy. He's not your Drew Doughty replacement. Fine, I get it. But this didn't have to happen. Clegg came in after Doughty was injured, after Sean Walker was injured, and looked good. He was quarterbacking the power play. He looked effective there. He got some points. He helped kind of revitalize that power play during the Kings' winning streak. And then they started scratching him. Why? I don't know. Obviously, the emergence of Sean Durzi, I'm sure, plays a role in this. He, like I said, has come up to the NHL. He has looked like a natural. He looks like he is going to be here all season. You know, we do have that spot that's going to be open all year because of Walker's injury. He's out for the year. So, you know, good on Sean Durzi for really stepping in and showing that he can be an NHL player, because he can and he is. What this organization has against Cale Clegg, against letting him get bigger minutes and showing what he can do, is perplexing. Like I said, he's not your top defenseman. And if the Kings are looking at Clegg being like, well, the only role for him is top defenseman or nothing, like, this is just bizarre asset management. Clegg has, you know, been scratched for the last jillion games in favor of Olli Maatta, who is, you know, basically the team's, the fan base's, like, whipping boy. People have basically called him this year, which, yes, but also it's not undeserved. The last game that Cale played in was November 21st against Arizona. It was that overtime loss to the Coyotes, LOL. Played 17 minutes, looked okay, and he hadn't played since then. The Kings would have sent him back. They didn't have to lose him, you know, for nothing. He did play in 11 games this season, so, you know, that does reach past that mark of 10 NHL games or 30 cumulative days on the roster. But, like, I don't know. They could have managed this better. If they thought that they weren't going to keep him up, if they thought that he wasn't going to get back in any games, they should have just reassigned him. Instead, now he is going to go play for the Montreal Canadiens, who A, in general, are just bad, and B, have a lot of injuries that they're dealing with. I believe there's been a couple on the blue line that have just popped up, so he is definitely filling a need for the Canadiens, and I hope that he blossoms there. I hope that he shows the Kings, like, you know, I hope he takes this with a chip on his shoulder, because it's very frustrating, and it's one of those moments where I wish that we could be a fly in the wall, or fly on the wall in these sorts of situations, because from the outside looking in, I don't see anything about Klaig in his performance this season that says, let's give up on this guy. He's not a viable NHL player. In the 11 games that Klaig played this season with the Kings, he had 5 assists, including a 3-game point streak, kind of right back at that start of the beginning of the winning streak for the Kings, which was exciting. But like I said, this is perplexing, because if you look at his stats, there's no way that he is the worst, most expendable defenseman on this team. But apparently he was. The Kings also picked back up Christian Wolanin on waivers. If you'll remember, they waived him at the beginning of the year with the intent of sending him to the Rain and having him be kind of their tweener player, who's most likely going to be the defenseman who goes back and forth. He was picked up by Buffalo because, conveniently, at that same time, Buffalo had a lot of injuries that they were dealing with on the blue line. So Wolanin was able to at least fill that gap for them. So they have Wolanin back in the organization. He is going to be available to play and is going to be stepping back into that sort of back and forth tweener role. He was fine last season. He did really well at Men's Worlds over the summer, which I think kind of got some eyes, some attention going, I guess. You know, adding Wolanin shouldn't and didn't mean that they could have just walked away from Cale Klaig. It's just, it's bad asset management to lose a player like this for nothing. I don't really know why they thought that he was going to be able to pass through waivers, you know, all because it's happened before. You know, obviously Klaig has been through waivers several times. He wasn't picked by Seattle in the expansion. Maybe they felt safe, but I mean, I guess an organization that didn't value him enough to play him, I guess, didn't care to lose him. But from the outsider perspective of watching him, help the power play, of watching him be better than some of the other guys we have out there, it's just perplexing and disappointing. But I'm glad at least he is going to a team where he's going to get regular minutes. He's going to blossom probably. And, you know, we'll get to see what he could have become had the Kings actually, you know, invested in him. Now, I get it. The Kings have a ton of young defenseman prospects. They're not all going to pan out. Guys that you like are going to go away. I've said it on this show, and lots of people say it online, that fans and analysts and everybody sometimes tends to get a little too precious, let's say, about prospects. Like, not every guy is going to make your team, and that's okay. That's just sort of part of how the world works. To see a player who, you know, Klaig was a second rounder, very promising junior's career. He seemed like he was finally kind of on track for putting his whole game together. My biggest complaint about him has been inconsistency and not really knowing what you're going to get from shift to shift. But it seemed like those issues were far more minimal in the games that I saw him this season. And instead, the Kings just were like, nah, we got plenty of you guys. So frustrating. I like I said, I hope that he does really well in Montreal. I know the Kings obviously have played both their games against the Canadiens this year, so I'm hoping that, like, I don't know, next season, I'd like him to score his first NHL goal in general. Like, he hasn't gotten one yet, but if it has to wait until next season, he should do it against the Kings, because that feels like fate. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other moves the Kings have made. And look at those games that we missed against the Ducks and the Flames and how frustrating they were. Before we do that, though, let's talk meat, because I personally love snacks. If you've listened to the show, you know that, like, I sure do enjoy a good snack or two. I'm also just horrible at making decisions. Like, I go into a grocery store and I'm like, well, crap, there's so many choices. One of the greatest things about Omaha Steaks, makes your choices for you because they send you a box of deliciousness. The holidays are right around the corner and finding the perfect gift could be tricky. And, you know, that's a gift for yourself or for others. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter NHL into the search bar to order the perfect gift package. For $99.99, you'll get 24 entrees like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. When you use the code NHL, you'll also get an additional 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free with your order. We, of course, have heard all the reports about shortages, supply chain issues, shipping delays, so don't wait. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com, and you'll get 8 free burgers when entering the code NHL. Achieve gifting greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, and 100% guaranteed. OmahaSteaks.com, keyword NHL, for lots of deliciousness. So in addition to officially no longer having Cale Klig as part of our system, the Kings also made a few other roster moves over the weekend. On Saturday, they announced that Blake Lizotte has been placed on the COVID protocol list, so he is out. It's not clear yet whether he has COVID or if he just, you know, has close contact or is awaiting a negative test or whatever. So don't know if he's going to be out that like 10-day quarantine period or what, but currently no Blake Lizotte. Klig, like I mentioned, claimed by Montreal. And the Kings also called up TJ Tynan, who has previously been the extra man for the team, and caught up as well Jared Anderson Dolan, who we have been waiting and hoping to get to see again. He's a player who is definitely an NHL player. He just kind of got squeezed off the roster at the beginning of this year because of, you know, too many men, not enough spots, and he is back now. And especially with Lizotte out, you are going to presume that he is going to jump right onto that fourth line. If things stay the way that they did with the lines previously, which quite honestly, I'm okay if McClellan wants to change stuff up, but you know, whatever. If things stay the same, Anderson Dolan will probably be centering Carl Grundstrom and Arthur Kaliev, which is an interesting proposition, and I wouldn't hate seeing it. So I would expect Anderson Dolan to get into that game against Edmonton over the weekend. Tynan, I'm pretty sure, is also probably just the extra guy. Somehow it totally escaped me that Andreas Athanasiou, after coming back from being injured, now is out on the COVID protocol list as well. So if you're wondering why he hasn't been playing, that's why, because he's out again. Anderson Dolan has been having a pretty strong season with the Rain. I mean, quite honestly, every Rain player has been having a pretty strong season. The team is, you know, one of the best in the Pacific Division, one of the best in the league at the moment. Which is fun and new territory. 16 games, 13 points in that time, 5 goals, 8 assists. Tynan, 12 games, 3 goals, 14 assists. So he's doing exactly what the Kings signed him for, is to help make plays and put pucks in nets or get pucks to guys to put in nets. But Anderson Dolan, like I have talked about previously on this show, when a guy gets sent down to the AHL, or I guess you should say he gets assigned or reassigned to the AHL, I feel like sent down sometimes implies a little too much negativity, I guess. But a guy can respond in two ways. A guy particularly who is someone who has been in the NHL before, has been an NHL regular, and surprise, now finds himself back down a level. And a guy can either go there and pout and have a bad attitude and, you know, not play particularly well and sort of damage his chances of ever really getting anywhere again with his organization. Or he can go down there, put his, you know, nose to the grindstone or whatever the saying is, work hard, play hard, be a leader, and get himself back up to the NHL. And Anderson Dolan has done exactly that. He has been big for the Rain. He's always been a strong performer with them. He has been just really important for that team and, quite frankly, deserved to be on this roster at the beginning of the year. There just wasn't the room for him. So I think this is a great opportunity for him. And also, you know, much like the crummy asset management with the Kings and with Cale Klig, this will be an interesting exercise to see what they do with Anderson Dolan and where he goes from here, like in terms of what's next for him. Because he is a player who, like, much like Klig, like, I'm sad to see him go because I like him as a player. I think that he'd be good for this team. I think that he has a future as an NHL defenseman. But at the end of the day, if you love them, let them go, right? And what I want is for Clegg to feel, to have a good career. I want him to get to be an NHL player. And I hate suggesting the idea of it, but if the Kings are looking at their roster and they're valuing Lizotte, I also feel bad for picking on Blake Lizotte because he's actually been fine this year. He is not who you would think of as your stereotypical fourth line center, but he's been fine. But, you know, when Lizotte comes back, obviously Anderson Dolan is still the expendable one because he doesn't have to go through waivers. But it's frustrating watching a team not make the best choices to put the best team out there on the ice, which includes things like putting good players on your AHL team because you don't feel like you can or should waive lesser players who have been around longer and who have to go through waivers. So, like, where does Anderson Dolan fit in this organization, in their future plans? And if he plays really, really well, what do you do with him? Do you make the swap and send perhaps Rasmus Kupari back down to the AHL? He started the season really strong with the Kings. He's kind of tapered off a little bit. Maybe it's fatigue, maybe it's whatever, but he hasn't looked quite as good as he did earlier in his time with the Kings. And so I would not be opposed to, when they have to do the roster shuffle, doing a little swap and sending Kupari back down to the AHL. Let him get his feet back under him. Let him get his game back together and let Anderson Dolan see what he can do and shine at the NHL level again. So I think we'll see some interesting things once, you know, everyone gets their acts together. I'm at least glad to see Anderson Dolan getting another shot at the NHL. By the way, a couple of the other players who we mentioned last week, I think it was last week, time blurs together, but when I had talked with Jason from Locked on Ducks, who's also my Rain correspondent, he had mentioned a few players who could be looked at for a call-up with the Brendan Lemieux suspension, and one of those was Martin Ferk. He has 22 points in 16 games, best mustache on the team, and is doing basically exactly what he's done his whole career, 10 goals, 16 games. One of the other players we mentioned was Vladimir Kratchev, who started the season with the Kings. Todd McClellan doesn't seem to know what to do with him, so sent him to the AHL. 11 points in 9 games. I don't know, if you have a guy who's scoring at more than a point per game, maybe you consider calling him back up, especially with your, mediocre power play. But, you know, what do I know? Gabe Vilardi, by the way, another player who I was curious to see what would happen to him, how he would react to being sent to the AHL after, you know, being a healthy scratch, kind of being mediocre, then getting sick, or, I mean, getting COVID at least. Who knows if he was sick, whatever. 5 points in 4 games, 2 goals, 3 assists. So he's also going down there and doing the work, which is really what I want to see. So excited to see Anderson Dolan back. Obviously, I don't want anyone in the lineup to get hurt. I don't want anyone to get taken out of the lineup, you know, for any reason other than, like, I don't know, had a mediocre night. But I'd be curious to see what TJ Tynan does. I've talked about him on this show before. I'm really familiar with him as a player from covering him in the AHL previously. And I think he deserves a shot. He's not ever going to be an NHL regular. He doesn't have the size, the physicality for it. Defense is a little bleh sometimes, but 17 points in 12 games for him. I think that, you know, he is serviceable at the NHL level. You're not going to hate it. And I think it would be worth it just to see what happens if they feel the need to change the lineups up. But we're going to see some new faces for the Kings coming up with their next game on Sunday. We're going to talk about the past games against Calgary and the Ducks real quick before we end things. But before we do that, betonline.ag is here for you for all of your betting needs. They have you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Football season continues their march to the playoffs, and BetOnline is here for you to get you through that important time in your life. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season, so head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From football to basketball, hockey, boxing, and fighting, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, so go check it out. BetOnline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, where the game starts. So over here at Locked On Kings Central, it's been a little bit of a week, a little bit of a pulling back of the curtain here. Earlier this week, I decided to pick up a foster puppy, which is great and cute, and like he was super snuggly and adorable. He was also a monster because he had no manners. He was a puppy. I don't think that he's ever like been in a house before. The rescue I volunteer with up here gets a lot of puppies from down south. There are a lot of dogs that abandoned or strays or, bad breeding operations, whatever. Anyway, moral of the story, it's basically impossible to do a podcast with a puppy with no manners who basically is either always barking at you, barking at something outside, or when he's not doing either of those things, he's trying to hump you. So if you wondered why there haven't been shows, and then also because of all of that, this is a dog who, whenever he heard a noise, he would start barking. And in a big city, in an apartment building, in a like fairly well-populated, active neighborhood, that's basically 24/7. Noises are 24/7 here. Anytime he heard a noise, he would, whatever he was doing, if he was sleeping or if he was eating or whatever, he would stop and bark. So let's just say the amount of sleep that was had over here at Locked On Kings Central was very, very low. So A, impossible to do a podcast whenever something is either A, barking, or B, humping, or B, barking while humping. And then B, when you're running on like 90 minutes of sleep a day, what happens is that when you do have time to just sort of sit down and do nothing, or sit down and watch a hockey game, say, the second you close your eyes, you fall asleep. Until something either happens or in the game and the goal horn goes off or the dog starts barking or something. So let's just rewind, shall we? That is all explanation of like A, why there have been no shows, and then B, just, life, right? But so let's rewind to that game against the Ducks earlier in the week. It was the return of Drew Doughty. If you thought they were going to ease him back into playing after that knee injury, you, my friend, are sorely mistaken. He played 28 minutes, just under 28 minutes. A special teams time for both power play and penalty kill. He got one assist in his return. No, they were not going to ease Drew Doughty in. This is a game where I saw the first period. I was awake for it. I watched it, and I was like, wow, gee, no goals. This sure is boring. Saw the second period, where both Troy Terry and Kevin Shattenkirk scored for the Ducks. Alex Iafallo scored for the Kings. I'm like, okay, 2-1. Oh, that kind of stinks, but whatever. We've still got a whole period to go. I fell asleep after that, and I woke up at the end of the third period, and I was like, what exactly did I miss? What I missed was two Ducks goals to make it 4-1, three straight Kings goals to make it 4-4 to send the Kings to overtime. So, moral of the story, don't fall asleep. Always ends poorly. Always going to miss stuff. And I missed a whole lot of fun. Goals from Kempe, Iafallo, Dustin Brown finally got back on the board. That felt real good. Of course, the assist on his goal came from Matt Roy and also Anze Kopitar, as all was right in the world. Game went to overtime. No one scored in overtime. Game went to the shootout. Ducks win in the shootout. Fine, whatever. So first off, I'm blaming the entire outcome of that game on Jason from Locked On Ducks. If you listen to our preview episode at the beginning of the week, he talked about his bold prediction was a 5-2 win for the Ducks, which didn't entirely come true. The Ducks did win with five goals, but that wasn't the final score. But later in the show, he also raised the idea of what if this went to a shootout. And I, of course, was like, no, I wouldn't be happy if this team won in a shootout. Like, the whole point of wanting the Kings to win is wanting the Kings to win. I don't want them to get one point. I want them to get both points. But so let's just say he is on notice for having manifested this outcome. I'm not into it. The game was very frustrating to realize that that is what happened. I think that we've talked about it a little before on this show. We're past a time for moral victories. This is a team that was supposed to be more competitive, and so far is not. I think it's a little past the, like, well, we tried real hard, but we didn't win. So, yeah, it is great to have seen the Kings come back from that 4-1 deficit. Those three goals to get them the tie all scored in the third period. Kempe started the scoring at 7:56, and then the other two goals, I follow at 15:08, Dustin Brown at 15:34, which is actually, like, super awesome. You love to see, you know, you score a goal, and then the next shift, you come back out there, and then, ha, you score again. That's really fun and cool. So, yeah, awesome to see the team really fight back and win that third period and send it to overtime. Like, that's great. I love it. Especially because when you look at the shot counts, it's not like the Kings massively outshot the Ducks in that third period. They just got the better of John Gibson. Third period, shots were 9 for the Kings to 10 for the Ducks. So, like, that's awesome. The first period was the really frustrating one because Kings outshot the Ducks 18-8, and yet no one walked away with any goals. So, yeah, moral victory, great, awesome. But the Ducks are one of those teams that if the Kings have any hopes of being in the playoffs, of competing for a wild card spot, they need to be keeping pace with the Ducks, because if the Ducks' success isn't sustainable, if they're banking a lot of points now and they're going to taper off later, whatever, the Kings need to be, like, winning these games against the Ducks, and instead they're getting most of the way there but not finishing the job. So very frustrating. Like, I feel like the shootout is maybe, like, the most and least frustrating way to lose a game, because, you know, overtime you're like, okay, like, this is still sort of a hockey game. Once you get to the shootout, like, it is, like, I think shootouts are fun, but it's the skills competition, you know? It's not a hockey game. It's just how well can your one guy do against this one goalie? So, like, it doesn't feel bad, but it also feels bad because you lost a game. So Kings lose to the Ducks. A couple days later, Calgary Flames come to town. It's the first time that Daryl Sutter is back in L.A. It is also Trevor Lewis's return to L.A. After he left in free agency. Daryl Sutter, famously NHL, it's a 3-2 league. Of course, final score of this game, 3-2. Kings got this one started with Alex Iafallo. Things went downhill quickly after that with Andrew Mangiapane scoring. And then Milan Lucic. I feel like that goal was just karma, right? Like, Lucic playing for Daryl Sutter again. Lucic, when he played with the Kings, was actually one of his seasons where I feel like he was, like, successful-ish. He cut out a lot of the goonery that was, you know, following him in Boston. He still was a capable player and not this, like, oh, you get paid so much money and you do so little kind of situation that he's in now. So, of course, Lucic has 7 goals, more than that now, because I'm pretty sure he scored in the most recent Flames game, too. But at the time, he put in his 7th goal against the Kings of the season, playing for Daryl Sutter. Like, of course he did. By the way, Milan Lucic, in case you haven't been, like, following what's happened to him since he left the Kings, which was so long ago now at this point. He played for the Kings in 2015-16. He had 20 goals in that season. Last year, he had 10 goals, 56 games. Season before, 8 goals, 68 games. Season before that, still in Edmonton, 6 goals in 79 games. So Lucic's 7 goals this season so far, like, 9 points, 24 games. I can't do math, but, like, he's at least, you know, respectable. We had Lucic back with Daryl Sutter. He scores on the power play, no less. Milan Lucic plays on the power play for the Calgary Flames. Matt Tkachuk made it 3-1. Alex Edler finally got his first of the season. He's had a lot of really good looks that have been tipped in or deflected in or bounced in off of someone, so the goal gets taken away from him. But he finally gets his first of the season, and that also happens to be his 100th career goal. A lot of people were saying, oh, that's going to come against Vancouver, which is coming up next for the Kings. But no, it finally happened. Got his 100th career goal in this game. But again, another game where too little too late, Kings can't finish the deal, can't find a way to come back and win this one. That third period, they had 13 shots. They really kind of controlled shots for the whole game. 14-13 in the first period, 15-11 in the second, 13-8 in the third. outshot the Flames 42-32, which, listen, Jacob Markstrom, I don't know if he is or is not this good of a goalie, I don't know, but he's looking phenomenal this season. If you're going to break through Jacob Markstrom, you're going to have to put about 8 billion shots on him and hope for the best. So the Kings needed to do that shot volume, but classic Daryl Sutter team here. Grind it out, 3-2 win, make the shots that you have count. You're not going to be wowing anybody necessarily with the fact that you're scoring 8 goals in a game or something. Very locked down. I saw someone on Twitter make the comment like, oh, this is what it was like, must have been like to play the 2012 Kings. And that is, you know, they're slightly more fun, I think. They've got a little more high-octane players. At the end of the day, Kings can't get it done. Jacob Markstrom is impressive in this game. Kings tried their best and didn't succeed here. Of those 42 shots, we once again saw Victor Arvidsson putting the puck on net. He had 4 shots. Carl Grundstrom also with 4. Trevor Moore with 4. Dustin Brown with 4. So we had a lot of guys. Matt Roy also had 4 shots. A lot of guys getting to the net, getting pucks there. Just Markstrom was seeing them and stopping them. So really frustrating game. Calgary was kind of a litmus test. I mean, as much as it feels weird to say it, they're doing really good this season, and they are a team that we're like, okay, well, we need to be afraid of them a little bit. So in that respect, it was good that this wasn't a blowout. Calgary has been scoring a ton of goals. They have a lot of guys on that team who can score, and Markstrom, like I said, has been phenomenal. So the fact that it was just a 3-2 game, good, like it. Wish the it would have gone the other direction. Up next, the Kings head to Canada. 2 games back-to-back. Edmonton on Sunday, Vancouver on Monday. So tomorrow we're going to be coming back and talking about the Edmonton game and seeing what there is to see in the world of Connor McDavid. And then later this week, we're playing the Dallas Stars and then Minnesota Wild on Thursday and Saturday. So the schedule doesn't get any easier from here. The next week, Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina, and Washington all on one road trip. So this isn't an easy month. There's more games against Arizona and Vancouver, but this month as well. But December is going to be gross for this team. And I think it's going to tell us a lot about the Kings and where they are and what we should expect out of them this season. But 2 frustrating losses. At least we picked up a point. But there's no way you can look at this homestand of Kings games where they picked up 4 points, 1 win, 2 overtime losses. There's no way you can look at this and feel good about it. Interesting that winning streak was mostly on the road, or really about half and half, but it'll be interesting to see what happens when they head back out on the road. But frustrating, nonetheless, to see this team kind of squander that home streak, that homestand, especially against teams that they either should have beaten, like Arizona, or that we think that they could have beaten, or that they beat before, like Toronto. They absolutely could have beaten the Ducks, and they didn't. So, like I said, this month is going to stink and in terms of the opposition, and we're going to see if the Kings rise to the occasion. That is it for today. Like I said, we're going to have another special weekend edition of Locked on Los Angeles Kings. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers, so stick around for that, or I guess come back for that. Until then, make sure you're following this show on Twitter at Locked on LA Kings. I promise now that the dog is gone, I won't sleep through all the games, and I'll actually be online to, like, yell about them. You can also find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. So come say hello, come enjoy the Kings with me, and we'll see what happens next. Now that you're done here, get ready for your week in betting by going and checking out Locked On Bets. It is your source, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It is free and available on all podcast platforms, so go check it out and make it your second listen of the day. Make sure you're following this show as well if you haven't already. We are available also on every podcasting platform you could possibly think of. Tell your friends all about it, and make sure you come back tomorrow for more Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.